Well, I am honored yet again to be here today, or I should say this evening. If you would, open your Bibles with me to Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3. And as I mentioned this morning, I'm from Southside Baptist Church. I'm assistant pastor there. This past May, I graduated from West Coast Baptist College, and I'm looking forward to one day going to the mission field and ministering to the military men overseas is where I believe the Lord's called me to go. So I'm just getting some training and looking forward to go there. When you get to Daniel chapter number 3, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? Let's begin reading in verse number 1. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governor, the captains, the judge, the treasurer, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of this image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nation, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all the kinds of the music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we're here tonight, Lord, I ask that you would come down and meet with us. Lord, give me the words to say, Lord. Just fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, just help us to have a good service here tonight. I praise things in your name. Amen. As I was out at West Coast Baptist College, my senior year, I worked a lot. I was working 40 hours a week and going to school full time. The job that I had, I was working nights. And I was working at a place called Wingstop. It's a chicken place. And I closed almost every night. And on Friday nights, we would close at 12, but because we were so busy, we wouldn't be able to clean up the store and get it ready for the next day till after we closed. And so as I was there, we usually would get done cleaning up, and I would get home or back to campus about 1:30. By the time I got back to campus and got ready for bed and got in bed, it was usually 2:30. And we had soul winning the next morning, and we had a soul winning rally at 8 o'clock. And as I was there, every Saturday morning, it seemed I struggled with that, struggled waking up. And every Saturday morning, my friends would come in, and they would, "Josh, let's get up. Josh. Come on, man, we got to go out soul winning. Five more minutes. And they would come back 5 more minutes later, and, "Josh, let's go. We need to get up. 20 minutes till soul winning rally." So I would say, 5 more minutes, and they'd say, "Nope." And almost every Saturday morning, they would dump me out of bed. But, you know, I was thankful for those friends. I was thankful that they weren't going to allow me just to sleep in and not go about what the Lord had for us that day. Because of those friends, I was able to lead people to the Lord. I was able to see the bus route that I was working on time in and time out. Every Saturday, we would see new kids coming each Sunday because of the visitation on Saturday. I'm thankful that my friends that I had encouraged me to do what was right. What kind of friend you are and have will determine what you will do for God. God wants us to do something great with our lives. Will you allow God to use you? Today I want to look at a familiar story and see how 3 men responded in a way that was honoring to God. The first thing I want to look at is the decree. Look with me, if you would, in chapter 3, verse number 4. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all the kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages, fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. So the first thing we see is the decree. We see that they had a decree of either you bow down or you die. As I was studying for this, I couldn't help but recall a situation that happened in 1999. On April 20th, 1999, at 11:10 a.m., Eric Harris and Dylan Kaibal went on a rampage, killing 15 and wounding 24. Some of you may remember that. It was Columbine High School. As they got out of their cars, they had a bag. In their bag was two propane bombs that they went in. Their plan was to go set it into the cafeteria where there was about 468 students eating lunch. So they went in and they sat it down and they went back out to their cars. And it was supposed to go off at 11:15. 11:15, nothing happened. So they gave it a couple more minutes and still, no explosion. So they realized that their bomb that they had planned on didn't work. They went and got into their trunk and got out their guns and went into the school. And as they entered the cafeteria, they began to shoot people on their way in. They got in, they are continuing to shoot people. And some of the students were able to get out and went up to the library. And Eric and Dylan followed them up to the library. As some of the students were in their hiding, they said, everybody stand up that's wearing a white cap. Or the people that play sports, the jocks is what they called them. Nobody stood up, so they began to just kill people. They go into one desk and they tapped on the desk, and then Eric got down and basically said peekaboo. The girl that was down there was a Christian and he knew that. He pointed the gun to her and said, tell me you're not a Christian and I won't kill you. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the decision of bowing down to the king, the girl here, her name is Cassie Burnell, and she had the option to bow down or tell him that she isn't a Christian and tell this human being that I'm not a Christian and live. They had the choice to bow down and live. She had the choice of saying I'm not a Christian and live. So the first thing we see here is the decree. The second thing we see is the disobedience to the king. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast sent over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Here we see that they were told to bow down, and they didn't. In our lives, we have situations in our lives where we could give in, where we could decide that it's not important to stand up for what's right. It's just a lot easier to do maybe what's not right. It's a lot easier rather than maybe somebody in your family, when you're around them, they say bad words or they do something that's not appropriate. Rather than just saying that it's not right, we just allow it to happen. But that's not honoring to God. What's honoring to God is when you're at work and people around you are using bad language. You say, hey, that offends me. I'm a Christian. Would you please not do that? I remember when I was working at Wingstop, almost every day I dealt with people cussing, saying things that weren't honoring to God. And they would see me come in, they'd say, hey, he's a Christian. We can't talk that way around him. That's not because of who I am. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ that lived this in me. Do the people you work with, do they know you're a Christian? Do they know that there's something different about you? Do they see the joy of the Lord in your life? Do they see that God lives with you? We say they were disobedient to the king. Cassie Burnell, when they pointed that gun at her, she was disobedient too. She said, I am a Christian. She was willing to die. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood that they would be killed if they did not bow down, Cassibella understood that she would probably die, but she was willing to stand up for what is right. In our lives, we are faced many times with the same situation. It's not nearly as big as a gun being pointed at us, but rather than standing up for what's right, we more than likely are willing to give in before we stand up for what's right. There's things that are on TV that allow it to enter our homes. Rather than turning it off when a commercial comes on, we just allow it to continue to play. I enjoy watching sports on TV, but when those commercials come on, I either turn the TV off and wait for it to go away, or I mute it, because those commercials a lot of times aren't pleasing to God. There's a lot of times they're advertising alcohol, they're advertising things that are ungodly and unpleasing to the Lord. But yet we allow those into our lives. We allow those things to come in, though they're small things, just like we talked about this morning, they can cause you to go to do sin, to sin more and more in your life. We got to watch out. We got to be willing to stand up for the small things, because if we're going to stand up for the small things, then we'll be willing to stand up for the big things. If we don't stand up for those small areas, we'll never, when it comes down to it, and our life is on the line, we'll never stand up for God. So we see the decree, we see that they were disobedient to the king, but I'm thankful they were disobedient to the king, because that means they were obeying the Almighty God. Then we see their dedication to Almighty God. Look with me in verse number 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my God, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all the kinds of the music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver ye out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." So we see that they were dedicated to an Almighty God. We see that the kings come to them and said, "Why aren't you just doing this small thing? Man, I've given you all this ability in my kingdom. It's not a big thing. I'm just asking you to bow down to my gods and this golden image that I set up." He says, "Why won't you do it?" "Because if you don't, you're going to be thrown in this hour into a burning fiery furnace." And they said, basically said, "King, in this matter, we're going to obey God. We're going to do what's right." See, this decision that they made just didn't start that day. It started when they first came to Babylon, when they were with Daniel, and when they were learning and reading their Bible and praying. They saw what Daniel went through. They saw these great things that have happened. They saw that when you do what's right, God honors. I can't help but think about when they first came into Babylon and they were supposed to eat all this stuff that the king wanted them. And Daniel said, "Well, let us eat our stuff and see who's stronger at the end of this time." And God allowed them to be just as strong. Actually, they were stronger than those men that were eating their king's food. See, they just didn't decide to be to obey the God that day. They had been obeying him all along. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not the only three Christians that came out of their land. There were other people out of Israel that were captive in this land that went ahead and just bowed down, didn't think it was any problem, had no problem bowing down in this situation. They said, "Well, that's okay, we'll bow down." But three men stood up. Are you going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when it comes down to it? And the devil's knocking on the door saying, you don't need to go out soul winning this week, or you don't need to go to church on Wednesday night. There's no need. You know, you should just stay at home, and you had a long day at work. You know, you had to go in at 6, and you didn't get off till 5:30. They understand. It's just one service. But when you miss that first service, like I said this morning, that second service is a lot easier to miss. The devil tempts you in all different areas. He tempts you in your thoughts. He tempts you in all kinds of different ways. What are you allowing to go through in your mind? What are you allowed to come through into your mind will determine what you're doing for God. When those commercials come on, or when you choose what you're allowed to come into your house through the TV, you need to choose wisely. Because the lives of your children, the lives of your grandchildren are being affected today. If you allow something right now that just seems so small, it doesn't seem like a big deal, eventually your children and your grandchildren will say, well, that wasn't too bad now, but when they're out of the house, something else that's a little bit worse will be a little bit easier to watch because of what you're allowing right now. Set the standard high. Shadrach, Meshach didn't just set the standard just right here. They set the standard high. They walked with God. They read their Bible. They prayed. They were dedicated to the Almighty God. But I want to point out something that I think is very important. Their friends were the right kind of friends. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't alone in this situation. They were together. When you have the right kind of friends in your life, the kind of friends that don't just stand around and let sin happen, the kind of friends that see you, maybe they see you missing a church service, they call you. Hey, man, you missed this? What happened? Were you sick? No, I just didn't want to come. Man, you don't want to start doing that. You need to be in church. The kind of friends that call you. The kind of friends that encourage you to wake up for soul winning when you work late at night. The kind of friends that don't want to see you step away from God. The kind of friends that when you're in the mall, you got teenage guys, and a girl's walking your way that's not clothed properly. They'd say, hey, let's look over this way at that sports shop. Did you see those pair of shoes over here? When they know she's coming down this way, they direct your eyes a different way. That's the kind of friends that you want. That's the kind of friends that when it comes down to it, they're going to encourage you to do what's right. There's two kinds of friends that you can be. You can be the kind of friend that encourages people to do right, or you can be the kind of friend that, hey man, let's listen to this radio station. Maybe it's country, or maybe it's the new rock station in town. We get in the car and we turn that on. It's not a big deal. You're just listening to a little bit of music. But before you know it, it starts affecting your mood. It starts affecting the way you act at home. It starts affecting your life. Music affects you way more than you ever realize. I was doing a study on music and how it affects us, and God started to work in my life about the music that I listen to. And He showed me that music affects us way more than we ever imagine. Here's a quote from a non-Christian. And I don't have the quote with me, so I'll try to quote it the best I can. But the quote basically said this. It said, if they understood not what the words are saying, but what the music itself was saying, they would take and break every CD, and if they heard you listening to it, they would throw you in jail. That's a non-Christian. Because he understands that music affects us. Another quote about music. He said, the quote was this. It said, if they know what kind of music can make you tap your foot, don't you think they know what kind of music can make you throw a punch? Music affects us. Are you that kind of friend that when you get in the car and the wrong music's being played, you say, hey, I don't listen to that kind of music. Do you mind if we change it? Or do you not say anything? Do you allow it to happen? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were those right kind of friends. Cassie Burnell was that right kind of friend. As I was reading about her life on the internet, trying to get an insight on her life, student after student was saying there was something different about her. She always had a smile on her face. She always encouraged me to do what was right. She always prayed before she ate her food at school. She was that kind of person that was always doing the right thing. Though we were often asking her to go do things that we knew she would never do, she always said, "No, I'm just gonna go hang out with my parents." Or she always had to doing the right thing. See, her standing up to those guys with that pointed the gun at her and said, "You tell me you're not a Christian," didn't just start on the morning of April, the morning of April 20th. It started a long time ago when her parents started taking her to church and started raising her up to be a godly young lady. It didn't just start that day. It started when she was reading her Bible for herself. Parents can train you up and they can teach you to do everything that's right. But when you become, 10, 11, 12 years old, you got to start doing it for yourself. You got to start reading your Bible. You got to start praying. You got to start doing those things that your parents have taught you. Because if Cassie Burnell would have never done that, if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have never done those things on their own, when it came down to it, they would have been willing to bow down to that king's golden image. It would have been simple. When at Bible college, you see all kinds of friends. You see those kids that come to Bible college just because mom and dad want them there. They don't have the desire to be there. And they find the same kind of kids that are at Bible college for the same reason. You think, well, it's Bible college. Everybody wants to be there. And that's not true. There's a lot of kids that are there just because mom and dad want them to be there. I remember it was my sophomore year. A couple of guys went to the beach. And they got some alcohol, were drinking it. They had some girls with them. It's not the right kind of friends. It's the kinds of friends you want that encourage you on the weekends. Hey, let's go to this movie, or let's break the rules. At Bible college, you need to find those right kind of friends. Even not necessarily at Bible college, but I'm just telling you, if there's the kind of friends that are at Bible college, you're there, and you can find those friends if you want them, or you can find godly friends that are going to lead you the right way. That's the same way it is in the church. Unfortunately, there's people that are here just that aren't the right kinds of friends. They're not the kind of friends that when somebody's gossiping, they'll just listen to it rather than saying, "No, let's not say that stuff." That happens. There's friends at church that when you get in their car, they're not listening to the right kind of music. You can find the right kind of friends in church. You can find the wrong kind of friends in church. But you need to decide today that I'm going to be that right kind of friend. I want to encourage my friends to do something great for God. When I was talking this morning about Eric, my friend that walked away from God, broke my heart. I had no idea that he was going down that path before it was too late. And I encouraged him, and I went to his house, saying, "Man, come back to college, man. You're wasting your life. You're ruining it." I remember going up to Brother Weaver's office when I saw Eric with his girlfriend. I said, "Eric's still in town. Did you know that?" "No, I didn't know that." "So, like, that's a girlfriend." I remember me and him going to Eric's house saying, "Eric, come back to college, man. You're going to ruin it." And he decided not to. Are you that right kind of friend? Cassie Burnell was willing to die. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were willing to die for an almighty God. Are you that kind of person? Are the friends that you're surrounding yourself with, are they going to encourage you to be that kind of person? Or are they going to be over here like all the other Israelites bowing down to this image? Are they going to stand up with you, or are they going to be bowing down? But I'm thankful we see the deliverance out of the hand of the king. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 19. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vision, of his visions, was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wanted to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace." Let's go back to the beginning of verse 20. Let's read that because I think that's a very important key. And he commanded the most mighty men. Drop down with me to verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because a king's commandment was urgent, the furnace was exceeding hot, and the flames of the fire slew those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded, rose up in haste and spake, and said to his counselor, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered, said, "O king, true, O king." And he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Amen. Amen. But I want to make sure you caught that. Verse 20, he didn't just send anybody to throw them there. His mighty men. And as we read in verse 20, as we look here, it said, "As I threw them in, because the fire was so hot that they were slew." Those men that were the mighty men, not just the weak links, they were the strong men. When they were thrown into this fire, were killed. And yet, God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. What a mighty God we have. Amen. God wants to do that in our lives. He wants us to stand up for what's right, and he wants to say, "I delivered them out of your hands. Hey, devil, you can't have them. They're mine. I'm going to protect them. I'm going to not allow you to do anything to them." Now, Cassie Burnell, as we all heard, most of us know the story, maybe you don't. After she said she was a Christian, they shot her and she was killed. But God still did a great work through her life. Her dad came to a local high school around where I went to high school in Indiana before we moved here to Florida and talked and told her story. And thousands of teenagers were saved because her willing to give her life. Though her parents had a great loss, though she had a great loss in her life because she died, but she was in heaven. Though her parents were saddened by this, though her friends were saddened by this, thousands of people were reached through her life. So it wasn't a defeat. It was a victory for our God. If she wouldn't have been willing to do this, there'd be thousands of kids still dying and going to hell today. And though sometimes people die young and we don't understand why, God has a plan. My junior year of college, I did an internship at a church on the weekends. Last summer, as I was working there, I got to know the pastor real well and his son. Son was 17 years old last summer. Was in a car with some of his friends, taking up one of his friend's sisters to her new job. She's going to be teaching school. They got hit by a drunk driver. 17 years old, was killed instantly. Though we don't understand why, he wanted to serve God with his life. But in his funeral, hundreds were saved. Though sometimes kids are lives are taken so young. God is always in control. This kid was on fire for God. And yet I don't understand maybe sometimes why God does things, but he always does them for a purpose. And though maybe right now there's things going on in your life that you don't understand why, you don't understand what's happening and for what reason, but a year, 2 years down the road, you can look back at this time in your life and say, "I stood up for what was right. And look what God did." God wants to do that. Just be faithful. He's looking at the situation that's in your life that you don't think you can handle, that you just want to bow down and say, "I give up. I surrender." And God's looking at it saying, please don't give in. Man, I can see the outcome and I can see it. It's going to be great. You're going to be able to see people saved. You're going to be able to do, oh man, I can see it. Please don't give in. He's begging us not to give in. Stand up for what's right. Be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Be that right kind of friend. But just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had to begin prepare a long time ago to be that right kind of friend. Are you preparing right now? Did you prepare yesterday? Have you been preparing to be that right kind of friend? Maybe you haven't. Start today. Read your Bible. Pray. Memorize Scripture. When the devil starts to tempt you to listen to that wrong music or to use those wrong words, or I don't know what the devil's tempting you with, start quoting that Scripture. He'll run faster than you have ever seen anything run before, because he can't stand God's Word. He can't stand it. God has given us a tool to defeat the devil, and yet we so often leave it at home. We're one of those Christians that we have our Bible, we get it out for church on Sunday, and then has a place on our shelf where it sits all week. Then on Wednesday, we pick it up, come back to church with it, then we put it right back down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the same tool we have, but they were using it. They were reading the Bible. They were praying. They were encouraging their friends to do the same. Do you have an accountability partner? Somebody that calls you up every day? Hey, Josh, what did you read in your Bible today? What did you get out of it? Let's pray together on the phone and just ask God to use us today. I have that friend. Do you have that friend that keeps you accountable? Because without accountability in our lives, it's real simple to fall down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had that accountability, and they were willing to stand up. Cassie Burnell had that accountability in her life, and she was willing to stand up. When it comes down to it and we pass away, what will those people that know you the best write on your tombstone? Will it be, well done, that good and faithful servant? Or will it be a good life, but didn't do anything for the Lord? God wants to give you success. God wants to see something great happen in your life. And he's given us an example right here of how to do it. He showed us in times of trial when we could bow down to the images in our lives. He showed us how to have the right kind of friends. Told us that if you surround yourself with the right kind of people and you are that right kind of friend and you're reading your Bible every day, time in and time out in the Bible when you're reading it, God has given us the tools for victory. And yet we often leave it to the side. So as we bow our heads and pray, I encourage you, if maybe there's somebody here who doesn't know the Lord as Jesus Christ in your life. Maybe you're not saved. Come down. Somebody wants to tell you about Jesus Christ. They want to see you saved. But maybe also you haven't been using or reading your Bible like you know you should be. Begin today. God wants to see you have a successful life. He wants to see something great happen in your life. Will you come down and get right with God and ask God to help you do the right things, help you read your Bible, help you pray? Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we can learn from Daniel, the book of Daniel, Lord, about how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Lord, how they were the right kinds of friends. Lord, how they walked with you, and Lord, how they prayed to you. Lord, how they had a relationship with you. Lord, if there's anybody here that's not saved, Lord, I ask that they would come down and get saved today. Lord, I praise things in your name. Amen.